Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episodes. This week, I'm going to be talking to you about the elements. So let's go ahead and get started. The four elements are comprised of four different earthly energies that have been worked with within a variety of spiritual, esoteric, and mystical practices since ancient times. Occurring throughout many cultures, these elements were primarily brought to the fore during ancient Greece, or in ancient Greece. In modern times, you know, some subscribe to more elements than just these four alone. However, these four were considered by the ancients and by a majority of practitioners still today to be the sustaining energies of life itself. The four elements, as you are surely aware of, are earth, air, fire, and water. As it's thought that the universe is made up of these four elements, along with a fifth element, which we will discuss momentarily, it's believed that human beings themselves are composed and managed by these elements. The physical world was calculated in ancient times to be comprised of the four traits, consisting of hot, cold, dry, and moist. Combining hot and dry results in fire. Combining hot and wet produces air. Dry and cold bring about earth, and cold and wet result in water. It is believed that through the combination of these four elements that the physical realm is constructed, and along with the fifth element, that life itself is brought about. I'm going to give you a quick word about the fifth element. So the fifth element was introduced into popularity by none other than our friendly philosopher Aristotle, and it was known to him and his contemporaries as being ether, or was designated as the ether. However, the fifth element has been known by many names throughout time, and I believe in ancient Europe it was referred to as quintessence, or in India it was known as akasha, which is kind of cool when you think about that, because most of us who want to know about our soul's history, our past lives, we go to where? The soul's library, which is the Akashic Records. So this element, the fifth element, has also been known as the void by the Japanese. It's also been known as prana in certain traditions, in the yogic traditions. And more recently, you'll see it today identified as the spirit, which is how I understand it as well. But it's kind of funny because all of these names, even the ether, I think can be used interchangeably, meaning the same thing, right? That which is not seen. So regardless really of the name given, ultimately what we will refer to here as spirit, it just has the same connotations throughout many cultures. The fifth element, or spirit, is seen as an eternal celestial life force that fills all space and time, and it is the energy responsible for animating life throughout the universe. In the Greek tradition, from which the popular notion of the four elements is derived, the spirit realm was seen as being on a higher plane than that of the earthly one. Essentially, across the many cultural traditions of magic and esoteric workings, the spiritual element doesn't necessarily follow any of the standard rules by which the other four elements are controlled, and is considered the glue or the fabric from which the cosmos is held together and the workings of, if you want to call it the great spirit, God, are cemented. So let's talk a little bit about the elements in an esoteric tradition. The symbolism associated with the four elements in esoteric traditions is the culmination of thousands of years of spiritual practice, incorporating these energies into rituals, spells, and all kinds of deity worship. It's believed in multiple esoteric traditions that by understanding these energies of the elements, we gain an understanding of each element's effects and combinations that affect our individual personalities. And we can then begin to attune ourselves with both our physical and spiritual plane. Representing the human nature symbolically throughout the esoteric practice, the elements are represented in such divination tools such as what? Tarot. And they are believed to be channeled and called upon by certain crystals and stones. Let's talk a little bit about Earth. So Earth is represented in many traditions as the most stable of the elements. The Earth element is held as a symbol of stability, groundedness, physical abundance, dependability, and nourishment. If you are a tarot practitioner, then you know the suit that is associated with the Earth is the suit of Pentacles. Some crystals that are associated with Earth are jade, emerald, peridot or peridot, and onyx. I am an Earth sign, and it's interesting. That's all I can say. Let's move on to air, and I'm going to expand on these later so you can maybe understand your element a little bit better. So we'll touch a little bit more about that later. But let's just quickly kind of do a run through of these right now. So the air element is considered to be the breath of life. The air element is seen as a symbol of communication. It's seen as a symbol of learning, thinking, and overall harmony. This being said, the air sign, being the force of life and change, can also bring about destruction. The suit in the tarot that is associated with air is the suit of swords, which if you're a practitioner, you know that is super negative. I guess that's my interpretation of that suit. It's like, oh God. Okay, the crystals that are associated with air are blue calcite, citrine, and yellow jasper, and I think a couple of other different types of jasper as well. So let's talk about fire. Fire is considered throughout multiple traditions to be one of the first elements upon the birth of the universe. Fire is often seen as a symbol for strength, passion, courage, and energy itself. Fire provides warmth and it allows for life. The suit of the tarot that is associated with fire is the suit of wands. And the crystals that are associated with this element are amber, which makes total sense, sunstone, again makes total sense, ruby, and red tourmaline. Water. Water is representative of the forever changing nature of the universe at large and is oftentimes employed as a metaphor for the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. Like the other elements, though, water nourishes and it nurtures. It can be destructive as well, as we well know. So in tarot, we know that water is associated with the suit of cups, the emotions, right? The intuitive realm. The crystals that are associated with water are amethyst, aquamarine, of course, mother of pearl, celestite, makes total sense. And lastly, we have spirit. So spirit represents mind and the heart of the individual, as well as the collective unconscious. The spirit element in many practices represents the archetypes of emotion, fate, luck, and even the will of the gods. So the suit associated with spirit, believe it or not, are the major keys, the major arcana. The crystals associated with spirit are turquoise, malachite, which I find interesting, it's my favorite stone actually, clear quartz, and howlite. Let's talk about the four elements in magic. In many multitudes of magical practices, the elements are powerful energies and forces to be employed for spell work, communication with deities, and protection. So throughout many traditions, when crafting your altar or somebody is crafting their altar for spell work, it's suggested that it contain the pentacle for the earth element, the wand to represent the fire element, the dagger to represent the air element and the chalice or the goblet to represent the water element. Of course, in the practices of many, the elements are called upon when casting a circle for the initiation of spirit or spell work, and each is considered a powerful energy to be independently used and combined with the others for further advancement into the mystical arts. So in magic, earth is representative of the physical plane and it's symbolic of all that is tangible. In spell work, it is considered useful for stabilizing, solidifying, and reinforcing. The element is employed in such matters as wealth or job attraction, healing the self or others physically, and stabilizing life matters. The association or the directional association of earth is north. The primal power of earth in magic is the power of silence, which I see that as very true, again, as an earth sign. So moving on to air. In many magic practices, air is the energy of pertaining to intellectualism. The air element is called upon for spell work involving transferring, clarifying, and communicating. Air is also employed to assist in all manners of divination. The directional association of air is east, and the primal power of air is the power of knowing. Okay, let's talk about the fire element. The fire element is representative of the will or soul in several traditions. Fire is often employed for workings pertaining to transforming, creating, or intensifying. It's also a particularly useful element to work with when performing banishing rituals of any kind. The directional association of this element is the south, and the primal power is the power of the will. And I think about this in association with tarot, because in tarot you have fire element as being the wands, and to me the wands are all about being able to create through the sheer power of your will. So to me it makes sense. Okay, let's talk about water. So water is representative of the emotions. Water is employed when working to adapt or reflect, which is true. Spells involving friends, reconciliation, or emotional healing are particularly powerful when the water element is called upon. The directional association of water is the west, and it's interesting that the primal power of water is the power of daring. And you know, the one thing I kind of want to say here when thinking about the elements, some years back, when I was meditating, I think this was back, God, 4, maybe 5 years ago, I kept seeing that there was, actually, I didn't see them, but whenever I'd meditate, someone would come and stand in front of me. And I couldn't see them, but I could feel, you know how you feel when you're in a room, or your eyes, you're like resting, and somebody walks in the room and you can feel that somebody's there. Well, whoever was coming in front of me, they were standing so close to me, I kept opening my eyes and there's nobody physically there, but I would feel them. And I finally asked, who is this? What do you want? And I kept hearing the elements, which I thought was so strange. I knew nothing about elemental work. It was bizarre. But when I asked them to show me why they were there, I literally saw the elements and then one element that was really active in my life, and an element that I could use to help me move along further and understand, and it was the element of water. It was so bizarre, and I'm sure many of you have had some very strange, bizarre episodes like that, but you can really work with the elements for healing, emotional healing, for creation, yes, to banish as well, to gain momentum. So many ways to use the elements for any form of manifestation and healing and foresight and understanding. They're really, really a great, I hate to use the word tool, but they are available for us. Okay, I digress. Let's go back. Let's talk about spirit. So in magic, as with many other traditions discussed, the spirit is representative of the will of the universe and the will of, you know, to some traditions, the deities. The spiritual plane is considered the realm in which spell work plays out after having been crafted from the other four elements. The directional association is above, below, and inward. Remember that saying, as above, so below. If you think about, I don't know, whenever I think about spirit, I think about the magician in the tarot, especially with as above, so below, because that's so relevant to that card. And the magician creates using the same laws above and applying them below to make what is in your mind manifest materially here on earth. So anyway, just thought I would add those 2 cents. The spell association for spirit is the power of being. Now let's talk about the four elements in astrology. So in astrological practices, it's often believed that the four elements are responsible for governing the 12 signs of the zodiac. These elemental energies are what are considered the catalyst for the personality traits associated with the individual signs. So those who are born under certain signs are thought to possess the energetic characteristics of the governing element in abundance. So let's talk about Earth again. So many times those ruled by the Earth sign are more inclined to handle practical matters. These signs put special importance on the material realm, on hard work, and they're especially talented at planning and in strategy. In the zodiac overall, the Earth sign represents the physical body, represents our finances, food, and our daily routine, obviously. The planet association of the Earth is Earth, Venus, and Saturn, which is, again, very interesting because personally, Saturn is my favorite planet. The sign association in the zodiac of Earth, Capricorn, Taurus, and the Virgo. And again, if you remember in the tarot, the Pentacles. All right, let's talk about air. So often those of us whose zodiac signs are associated with the air element find it difficult to fit into, their everyday surroundings, such as work or school, and they have problems with going out of their way to appease like friends, family, coworkers, etc. Ultimately, these difficulties arise from having an intense need for freedom, for liberation. In the zodiac symbolism, air is representative of having room to breathe, an opening of the soul, the spirit, and a strengthening of the lungs. The planets associated with air are Jupiter and Mercury. The sign association, of course, Libra, Gemini, and Aquarius. Let's talk about fire. So signs governed by the fire element are often associated with the traits of charisma, leadership, and internal energy. However, as the fire consumes through personal passions, fire signs must also take heed to balance their sometimes self-centered nature with that of their emotions and compassion needed to maintain and cultivate external relationships. The fire element is symbolic of awareness, excitement, and energy in the zodiac at large. The signs associated are the Sagittarius people, Aries, and Leos. And the planets associated are Mars, Pluto, but also the sun is associated, which makes complete sense again. Water. Water signs are often influenced primarily by emotion and feeling. Their intuition allows them to excel at offering advice. They're good counselors and they are good at guiding others through emotional problems. On the downside of the water sign's tendency to focus on the emotional, they are more likely to suffer emotionally for long periods of time without relieving themselves of really the emotional cause. So water is commonly symbolic of existence, cyclical nature, the flow of time, and of course, the intuitiveness of the zodiac. The signs associated with water are Cancer, Pisces, and Scorpio. And of course, planets associated would be Venus, but also the moon is associated with water, which makes sense, complete sense. In alchemy, the elements find perhaps their most symbolic undertaking, representing the metaphysical qualities of the very structure of the universe itself. One of the most famous historical alchemists, Rumi, and Rumi's of the Sufi tradition. Rumi puts forth a summation of the elements being representations of love from the universal soul to that of the divine spirit. So in fact, many ancient alchemists believe that the elements that we have come to adopt as the building blocks of life in the universe were originally derived from the original first matter, for which there are many names, as we know, across many various traditions. In the Greek philosophy of alchemy, it's believed that the elements were given life through two separate living energies, that of strife and that of love. So alchemy is what provides much of the modern understanding of the elements, going so far as to have given us the symbols for the four elements, which are now accepted throughout a lot of traditions. The alchemical ideas of the elements would go on not only to influence esoteric and magical practices throughout many centuries, but that of philosophy and psychology as well. So let's talk a little bit about earth in alchemy. Earth is commonly represented as an inverted triangle or pyramid with a line running through it. The symbolic combination of the traits of cold and dry that we spoke about earlier. The earth element descends in alchemical thought and is considered the least volatile of the four elements. Now, I could really be wrong here, so forgive me. But I don't know why I'm thinking that the root chakra, which is to me always, you know, the groundedness chakra, is an inverted triangle, but I could really be wrong, so don't crucify me, you guys. Okay. Air. Air is commonly represented as a triangle or pyramid with a line running through it. The symbolic combining of hot and moist, of course, represents air. And the air element ascends in chemical thought. Fire is commonly represented as a pyramid or triangle shape, the culmination of the properties of dry and hot. The fire element ascends in alchemy and is considered to be the most volatile of the four elements. Water is commonly represented as an inverted pyramid or triangle shape. It is the combination of the cold and the moist traits. And water also descends in alchemical thought. So again, you have earth and water that descend, and air and fire that actually ascend. The four elements have really provided a guide and the building blocks for a lot of mystic and esoteric traditions since long before they were realized and given their customary definition by these ancient Greek philosophers. So Greek philosophy, just a little bit of background here as well, because I think it's important. So Greek philosophy supposed that the universe, again, was comprised of fire, air, earth, and water. And the four elements, they're usually arranged as four corners, but they can be arranged in ascending order from bottom to top. The earth rising out of water, air over the earth, and the sun, which is fire, over all. Chemical reactions occur as the reactants try to return to their proper place in the series. So just as an example here, the burning of a log of wood produces fire that ascends rapidly, smoke that arises in the air more slowly, the release of steam which returns to water, and ash which returns to the earth. Let's dig in a little bit more when it comes to these elements, because I want you to have more of a comprehensive view or understanding of each element here. So let's talk a little bit more about air. This elemental energy, it's associated with the East. It's considered to have the power of movement, intelligence, and purification. It's said to represent the power of your mind over matter. This element helps you focus your thoughts, clarifies your mind, and it's good for divination. The element of air is the force which is felt yet not seen. It is silent and also a fuel for speed and power. Let's talk about earth a little bit more here. This elemental energy is associated with the north, It's said to have the ability to help with fertility, motherhood, stabilization, and anything associated with life in general. Everything is dependent upon this element as it represents the physical base. It's said that this element helps bring you back to your roots and your primal form. The element of earth brings you prosperity and wealth. This can be used specifically for a physical area, and it's also used in binding and knot spells or rituals. Let's talk about fire a little bit more. This energy, it's associated with the South. The element of fire can be both good and bad because it symbolizes creation and destruction. Fire can create heat, but to do so, it must destroy something. It's often used as a symbol of rebirth. It's a symbol of focusing, cleansing, and transformation. Fire also helps you create self-control. It's most commonly used in candle magic, which, if you remember, I did an episode. Okay. Water. Water is associated with the West. It's the elemental energy of cleansing, of love, and of healing. All life is dependent upon water, and it's therefore the symbol of life. People who are dominated by water energies tend to be their dreamers, their poets, and they can be like whimsical thinkers. Water is used as a tool for healing. It's used as a tool for purification, a tool for new beginnings and peace. You can use the energy of water to develop psychic awareness, to bless a union, and create peaceful dreams. So that is air, earth, fire, and water. But now let's talk just a little bit more about spirit, because spirit is related to all directions, north, south, east, and west. It's everywhere. It is the element of the divine and the purity of your soul. This element brings you closer to the divine voice, which resides within you and all of us. It is said to open you to the hidden potentials of humanity and the magical energy which flows around you. This is the energy which guides your destiny towards your specific desire and makes you as an individual, really. So now I want you to listen up if you are a fire spirit and see if any of this that I'm about to share with you resonates. If you are a fire spirit, you feel a calling to deliver an important message to the world. You have to actually feel very, very passionate about things in order to pursue them. You will feel a burning desire to create, inspire, or even lead others. You're not really afraid to tell it like it is, and you do share your truth. You're often very independent, and you're always kind of, paving a new way. Fire spirits are here to deliver a message to the world through leading, creating, and inspiring others. At some point in their lives, they'll often feel the call to awaken by having, what's called that fire in their belly. This fire will burn passionately and strongly and will encourage the person who is a fire spirit to go after their greatest dreams. They need not really do anything special in order to tap in or really tap into their internal self. Through simply being true to themselves, this fire spirit can deliver its message to the world. When out of balance, the fire spirit can become too aggressive or pushy in their ways. They are also prone to lashing out or feeling frustrated when someone or something gets in their way of their, gets in the way of their vision. By being sensitive to others and focusing on the bigger picture goal, a fire spirit can learn to calm and raise in consciousness. When a fire spirit is not using their flame energy, they can be prone to overthinking. They can be prone to also having anxiety and insomnia and feeling very blocked in their lives. It's really important, therefore, for a fire spirit to own this type of energy and use it in a productive way. Listen up if you're an earth spirit. If you're an earth spirit, you will feel a calling to heal and care for others, especially through using nature. You have no problem holding space for other people or taking on responsibilities. You have a strong ambition to heal and save the planet, or at least make the world a better place in some way. You're a private person when it comes to emotions, and you really only share what's necessary. You tend to feel comforted and peace when you're about in nature. Earth spirits are here to heal themselves and others through nature. As natural healers, they are often drawn to using plant-based medicines. They are also highly in tune with Mother Earth, and they do strive to make the world a better place in some type of way. It's the desire to heal that often helps the Earth spirit to awaken, and through this desire, they develop an ambition and drive to create powerful change. Earth spirits are very driven, and they don't mind taking on responsibilities if they serve a higher purpose. They also have the ability to hold space for others, and they are powerful people to lean upon, super reliable. When out of balance, the Earth spirit can become cold, emotionally stressed, or they feel overburdened. This causes the Earth spirit to withdraw or lose sight of their bigger picture goals. Earth spirits are always recharged through spending time in nature. That I can attest to. Okay, let's do air spirits. If you're an air spirit, you'll feel a calling to deliver a message into the world through teaching or creative self-expression. You have a strong imagination and foresight to think about the bigger picture. You desire to stand up for humanity, to stand up for your beliefs and for the beliefs of others. You are always striving to keep the peace and resolve conflicts. And you need to surround yourself with friends and family because that is super important to you. Okay. Air spirits are here to bring vision and innovation into the world. They are natural teachers and speakers, and they often have the talent to bring their ideas into the material world. They are strong visionaries, and they are often revolutionary in their ideas and beliefs. Air spirits are really here to bring lasting change into the world, and they often complete this over many lifetimes. Air spirits are also the keepers of peace, and they're naturally gifted and talented at resolving conflicts and bringing harmony to all involved. Air spirits are often awakened by the desire to stand up for their beliefs, to stand up for their ideas and their creations. It's often through having a prophetic dream or vision that they kind of start to really tune into who they are. And lastly here, if you're a water spirit, listen up. Water spirits are here to heal the world through bringing more art, more joy, and music into it. Water spirits are often very creative and intuitive, and they love to explore all areas of art and creativity. They're also very sensitive to the environment around them, and they can pick up on the energies of others, even if they're not aware of it. A water spirit awakens when they realize that through just being who they are and allowing their creative juices to flow, they can achieve everything that they desire. When water spirits struggle to own who they are, and when they try to conform, that's when they feel off balance and out of sorts. Water spirits carry the gift of being able to understand and tune in to the emotional vibrations of their soul and the souls around them. They're also very sensitive to the energies of the universe, and they're also very natural intuitives. When out of balance, a water spirit can feel overwhelmed, overly sensitive, depressed, and anxious. Because water spirits lead with their emotions, it's important for them to deal and process their emotional state first. So again, if you're a water spirit, you might feel a calling to bring art, love, and music and joy into the world. You're highly intuitive and tend to lead with your emotions. You feel a desire to bring healing into the world, usually through creative self-expression. You have the power to heal yourself and others emotionally. And you're very sensitive to the energies around you, and you often need some time alone. Now, with your knowledge of everything related to the elements of air, earth, fire, water, and spirit, if you actually want to work with the four elements to manifest, to create, you might want to consider creating an altar. And here's just kind of my two cents in terms of how this would work. just taking into consideration all of the information. So let's say you're creating an altar and you want to use the four elements. We can start with the element of earth, which will be represented in the north lower left corner. So earth energy is supposed to represent the sacred feminine, and it embodies the elements of nature on your altar. It also reminds us of the importance of being grounded, right? An essential element to manifesting what we want to create in our lives. So placing crystals, stones, or a living plant or a fresh flower on your altar is a great way to symbolize the earth. Choose which items represent earth energy for you and place them with intention in the north or the lower left corner of your altar. Air. So air energy represents knowledge and the power of the mind. It also embodies courage and bravery. The air element is really where you want to focus your energy, right? So in the east, in the upper right corner, you can include something to represent the air, such as images of birds or feathers. You can burn plants. You can burn sage, cedar, Palo Santo, mugwort, copal, and even sweetgrass, which they're perfect for working with the air element. So burning a ceremonial incense and maybe using a special feather to disperse the smoke is a great way to focus intentions and prayers associated with the air element. Let's move on to fire. Fire should be located in the south lower right corner, and fire energy is powerful. Fire represents creative energy, represents manifestation, inspiration, strong will, and it also represents sexual energy. It is associated with purification and transmuting negative energy and creating a pathway from the physical world to spirit. So through our prayers, we make fire a powerful element to work within our manifestation practices. So what do we use to represent fire? Candles. A candle should be placed in the south or lower right-hand corner of your altar to represent the fire element at play in your life. Other candles can be placed in different areas of your altar to help spark the manifestation of your specific desires. Perfect. Moving on to water. So water energy is all about power, but it's also about flow. It represents our emotions, intuition, healing, and reflection. As beings of water on the planet Earth, we are deeply connected internally and externally to this powerful and sacred element. Again, water needs to be placed in the west or the upper left corner of your altar. A chalice or a cup can be placed on the west upper left corner of your altar and filled with clean, pure water. The use of cups can represent the female form and symbolize the nourishment of your desires. Elements of the bodies of water, such as seashells or rocks, are another beautiful option to represent the water element on your altar. The next thing that we want to talk about is spirit here, and spirit should always be located directly in the center. So spirit again, or the ether, is the fifth element, and it embodies the life force that encompasses and creates all things. In indigenous ceremonies, spirit energy includes the spirits of our ancestors and the mysterious forces which move the elements of this world and even the underworld. There is wisdom and power in the elements that are beyond our control. The tides flow with the moon, animals migrate around the planet, flowers bloom, and our hearts beat without any influence of our own. This is the domain of spirit. Representing spirit on your altar, you can use a white candle, a picture of your ancestor, a mirror, or an image of somebody from your spiritual tradition like Jesus, Buddha, Mother Earth, whomever, and they can all represent spirit. Feel free to be creative with the spirit element and just choose a symbol to represent what the powerful and mysterious forces of life and God or the great beyond, whatever, means directly to you. And then harness the energy of all of these combined to create as above, so below. So again, you guys, you can work with the elements in a number of ways to manifest, to create, and to heal. So just as an example, whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed or stressed or burdened by things, you know, in an emotional way or in my personal life, I don't naturally ask, oh, which element is going to help me overcome this situation? Rather, believe it or not, it's my guide stepping forward. And then they'll show me a body of water, or they'll direct me to go for a walk around a pond or take, you know, a few salt baths to kind of release and try to release whatever the burden is that I'm, you know, emotionally carrying. So that's like a good way of working with the water element to release and to heal, because I believe that water is really purification and a great healer. The same thing with fire. So for example, as I've spoken on here a number of times about, you know, candles and using candle magic specifically for creation in some way, working with the element of fire to create, super, super important. And also fire is light. Whenever we work with the light in any type of way, we're working with the force that wants to create according to our highest good with the power of our will. Right? Remember, fire creates. It does destroy, but it also creates. So that's another way to work with the element of fire. I'm thinking about working with the element of air. Whenever we're meditating and we're exhaling, it's the exhale, it's the release to work with, again, air to purify, to clear the mind, and to balance the mind as well. And then for me, in a personal way, working with the earth energy, it is very good for stabilizing. But it's also very good for healing and going through nature, walking through nature, working with nature, getting your hands in the dirt physically, working with flowers, trees, even the elementals in nature will help you to heal. So there are multiple ways to work with these different forces that are coexisting out, you know, in our world all of the time. I wanted to end this, you guys, with giving you some fun facts about the elements, which I thought were kind of cool scientific facts that maybe you'd like to hear. So let's talk about Earth first. So some fun facts. Most gemstones contain several elements. What's the exception here? The diamond. It's all carbon. Which of the 50 states has never had an earthquake? North Dakota. The Earth's equatorial circumference is greater than its polar circumference, which is interesting. The Earth is estimated to weigh 6.6 sextillion tons. So to compare, a million is a one with six zeros following it. A sextillion is a one with 21 zeros following it. Let's talk about water, some fun facts. So an inch of rainwater is equivalent to 15 inches of dry, powdery snow. The deepest part of the ocean is 35,813 feet deep and occurs in the Mariana Trench in the Pacific Ocean. At that depth, the pressure is 18,000 pounds per square inch. That's crazy. The human brain is 80% water, you guys. If you have a headache, recurring headaches, kind of like I do, it's because you're not really drinking enough water. It's actually true. Air. 8 to 12 miles above the earth, rivers of air are known as jet streams, and they move above us. So several miles wide and 1 to 2 miles deep, these currents of air can have wind speeds as high as 250 miles per hour. And to contrast this, the strongest hurricanes have wind speeds between 150 to 200 miles per hour. No wonder it can get so bumpy on the plane. So now let's move on to fire. A bolt of lightning is about 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And the center of the sun is about 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. Jesus. And then when we talk about the elements combined, when hydrogen burns in the air, water is formed. Oxygen is the most abundant element in the Earth's crusts, waters, and atmosphere. Sound travels about 4 times faster in water than in air. And wind and water both cause erosion to the Earth, moving large amounts of sand and rock to tear down mountains and build new structures. So overall, Just even looking at this conversation about the elements, and when you look into the soul of the universe, it's easy to see how everything is connected and we are all one of the same. Essentially, we are the universe expressing itself as human for now. We all come from stardust and we all carry within us the elements of the world around us. And these do include earth, air, fire, and water. And we all have some element of earth, air, fire, and water within us, but often we do lead with only one or two of these elements. And again, if you revisit some of the attributes of these elements that I stated, you can kind of take a look and see what you lead with most. And maybe if you look at the negatives and the positives of those elements, you can begin to understand how to balance them better in your life. You guys, I really hope this was a helpful conversation, an interesting conversation. Thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate it. Please, everybody, stay safe. Things are escalating, unfortunately, in the world with this health crisis, but try to stay positive, help, lend a hand, say a prayer, and be kind. I'll talk to you guys again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.